Now, I mean, the seven novels certainly are like that. People who run away in Florida form part of the seven novel tribes. Doom eventually comes to mingle with the seven novel tribe itself. But they also remain somewhat distinct. They are kept slightly separate from the heart of the seven novel tribe. They predominantly have different villages. But they all pay or acknowledge the overlordship of the seven novel chiefs. But they're called black seven novel.
Militia finally did decide to go into these maroon communities, and what did they do with them? Did they return them to their owners, or were they able to even know after all those years?
Yeah, if they capture them, they will return them to slavery. The guy who's put on trial is the man who's executed, but he's one of the leaders. And he's almost compensated for his death. But most of them will be return to slavery, but actually they capture a very small number. I mean, they're more likely to kill people than capture. But then, if you've got a maroon community of 100, often you find that they've captured 8 and killed 3. And the rest just vanish. They vanish into the forests. And they're probably just creating another settlement by halfway. Or some of them might try and sneak back on the plantation and pretend they never ran away.
Called himself Captain Budget, 40 years later, is
Patterson, from all done by Jamaica all those years ago.
And more
the land on which the building is being by the county of Warwick. It's actually just south of Coventry. The one that's along the wall. It's about 3 miles from Coventry. The middle one.
Some of the post-Civil War
descriptions sometimes mention these people who, before the Civil War, had never seen the White House, and they built their lives in this home. Born there, grew up there. But they never then, you know, write them off. Probably because they're not literate.
I think we've got time for one or two more questions.
Some of them are transients and they are very short-lived, but I try to concentrate on ones that were clearly happening out for a while, more than a few weeks, and more than probably a few months.
Like years.
And some of them are years. I mean, the one in the 1780s is clearly years. Forrest Gerald would be out for years. He hadn't just appeared in 1821, he'd be out for years before then. As a sign, well, groups are, you know, can be as small as 10, 20, but the biggest ones are over 100. And then the biggest ones then have women and children in them. The smaller ones tend to be just men, or the older ones.
And how are they documented?
They're often documented in legislative records, with people writing to the government, writing to the governor, petitioning, about the situation and why it's terrible and why they need the militia to come and do it, something about it. Sometimes through newspapers, a lot of newspapers do report on rogue activities, but only the successes. But you know, also about George Ford is all in the newspapers, because they, you know, the shot was really going to be dead. And the hunt for him is reported throughout the South. I mean, when he had good reports from Savannah about this, which is happening 2 miles away. And then there are private documents like diaries, which mention, you know, today we went out to hunt for runaways in Pineville or in London. All those are the trial of Lewis, which is in the University of Toronto. So they came up with a lot of different types of archives, actually, you know, the South Carolina and Antarctica. But I asked all the questions I can't remember before, if I missed a good thing. I think there was definitely a paper.
Is there a relationship between the term maroon and the term, which I think is clear, contraband?
I think contraband specifically refers to the Civil War, doesn't it? The Civil War is when they talk about contraband, so it's...
It's applied to slaves that had run away or taken sides.
And that's the issue in the Civil War, is about property and stuff like that, and it's different from maroon.
But is maroon a legal term?
No. And in fact, the American sources never use the word maroon. They always use the word runaway immigrants, or banditti, as in a plural of bandit. But they never use the word maroon unless they're describing tomato, which is interesting. One of the newspapers talks about that one of these groups was almost as strong as those of the Marines of Jamaica. Had they not, you know, sent the militia to destroy them. But the word Maroon is not one you see in American sources at all. Which again is probably quite interesting, I don't know why, because it's certainly used by the British. Thank you.
lot easier than the Gabriel Cross in reference to.
Yeah, well, neither Prosser nor Wesley were rooms. Prosser's, again, the Woodland Antonia is a plantation slave, his fort is built around plantation slaves. Wesley is a free black man in Charleston, and his is a very urban plot. It has similarities to that Antonia and the fact that it's religious again. It's the use of the Anglican Church to spread his news of the British Lights plot. But he, the only way fair in the room is that he's betrayed by another slave. He's betrayed by another woman who tells, warns somebody, and then the whole thing sort of all falls apart. So, but neither of these people are Maroons. Maroons don't tend to be good leaders of insurrections. They are too outside of society. And they don't really want to get involved in that. They want to sort of be left away. They want to have their own thing. They don't want to stir up more trouble if they know what's going to happen to them. So.
Can you repeat for us that Spanish word that the word Maroon came from?
Yes, Cimarron.
Cimarron.
Cimarron. You know, even Francis Drake in the 1570s in Panama meets a group of people he calls the Cimarrons, who were escaped slaves from Spanish, who help him steal Spanish treasure, which is what Drake is famous for, stealing Spanish treasure. All that treasure in the world, Mexico and Peru, well, a large part of it ended up in London because we stole it. That's what Drake and Hawkins and Mali all were, they were just pirates. Mice and piracy is okay, not Somali, but mice.
We have to turn the theater over in a few minutes. So if you have some more questions for Dr. Lockley, he's actually going to be out front with Alex Moore with the books. And if you turn in your evaluation sheet, we'll give you a poster. So thank you very much for coming.